If you love action, if you love fast-paced, if you love unexpected twists and turns, then you absolutely love the way Jesus is talked about and described in the little New Testament book called Mark. The authors are Peter, the disciple, and Mark, his secretary, you might say, and they describe a fast-paced, action-packed ministry and life of Jesus. Their first words, the opening words of this little book, simply say this: "This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God." And then they quickly launch us into one event after another, proving that Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be. And because he's who he claimed to be, they say that you and I can fully believe and embrace the good news that he offers to us. Now, you and I both know that if there was ever a moment in time when we needed good news, it is this moment. If you could listen clearly, I think you and I would all hear the cry for good news that is coming from almost every corner of society and culture. It's rising up, I think, from almost every heart, every home, every community, every state, every nation, people who are looking for good news. And I'm so excited that as we've worked our way through this little New Testament book of Mark, we have discovered that Jesus offers us good news, and he offers it to every person in every location for every situation. Already in the first few chapters of Mark that we've been looking at the last couple of weeks, we've discovered that Jesus offers forgiveness, healing, compassion, freedom, restoration, peace in the middle of storms. He offers a personal relationship with a living God. He offers us new direction and new purpose for life. That is good news. When Jesus talks about all of these things together, he often uses a little phrase, a phrase that's used 14 times in quoting Jesus in the book of Mark, and it's used multiple other times in the other books that talk about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Here's the phrase: Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, and he's talking about all of the things that we just mentioned: love, forgiveness, healing, compassion, freedom, peace, a relationship with God, direction for life, purpose for living. Jesus frequently describes all of those things by just simply saying, we are invited into the kingdom of God. Let me give you a couple of examples. If you have a Bible or you open your Bible app on your phone, find Mark chapter 4, and Jesus says these words in verse 26, beginning there. He says, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he doesn't understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf of blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." Jesus continues. He says, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story can I use to illustrate it?" And then he says, "It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest in the entire garden. It grows long branches, and birds can make their nests." A little bit later on, Mark describes for us an event in the life of Jesus. It's actually found in Mark chapter 10, where parents are bringing their children to Jesus. They want Jesus to pray over them and bless them. Jesus' disciples think that he's too busy to have time to spend with children. And so they begin to sort of shoo away the parents. Jesus doesn't have time for this. And we're told in Mark chapter 10, verse 14, that when Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with the disciples, and he said these words, "Let the children come to me, don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to these who are like children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter into it." Matthew records some words about Jesus mentioning the kingdom of God in one of the most famous prayers that you and I have ever heard. Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray, and he says these familiar words, "Pray like this, our Father who is in heaven, may your name be kept holy, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Matthew says that a little bit later, as Jesus is talking about the way we live on this planet, with all of the details of life that we have to take care of, Jesus talks about so many people being concerned with what they're going to eat and what they're going to wear and how they're going to pay their bills. And Jesus says these words. He says, "Your Father already knows all that you need. Your Heavenly Father knows all that you need. So seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously. Do what is right in God's eyes, and He will give you everything you need." Obviously, this phrase, kingdom of God, is really important. If it brings together all of the good news that we have in Jesus, what does it really mean for us today? How does it apply to our lives today? Well, entire books, libraries of books have been written on the subject of the kingdom of God. Lots of messages have been preached by better speakers and communicators than I will ever be. But let me just share with you a couple of really practical, relevant thoughts about the kingdom of God that I think really speak to our hearts today. When you hear Jesus use the phrase kingdom of God, it's really important that you and I know this. The kingdom of God does not equal a political government or a future heaven. When Jesus says the kingdom of God, he's not talking about some political structure, and he's not just talking about when we get to heaven someday. Now, at the outset of his ministry, everyone seemed to be looking in the wrong direction regarding what Jesus came to do and accomplish. Israel, as you know, was anticipating the Messiah. And they were anticipating that he would be a world leader, a military genius, a revolutionary who would restore Israel to political power and prominence like had been back in the days of David and Solomon. The Messiah had been anticipated and promised and prophesied about for ages, and their expectations were amazingly high. But Jesus' mission was radically different than their expectations. Rather than a political revolution, Jesus came to accomplish a revolution of the heart as people experience his grace and love and truth. Jesus did not come to establish a political party or set up a national government. No, he came to establish the kingdom of God in our hearts and in our lives. Now, we are never going to experience this perfectly on this planet. This planet's been marred by sin and evil. So we won't experience it perfectly until we experience someday in the reality of heaven. But friends, we can be really clear based on what Jesus said when he talked about the kingdom of God, that he's not just talking about something in the future. There are aspects of the kingdom of God that we can experience right here and right now. So if the kingdom of God is not about a political organization, if it's not about just some future reality, what can we say about it? Well, we can say this: the kingdom of God equals a life lived in such a way that God's plan and purpose are being experienced on earth just as it is in heaven. Jesus is talking about a real life that is lived in such a real, authentic way, connected to God's purpose and plan, that God's will, God's desire is happening right here, just as it always happens in heaven. This is where that prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," is lived out every single day. And Jesus says, you can experience this right here, right now. Tony Evans describes the kingdom of God like this. He says the kingdom agenda is simply the visible demonstration of the comprehensive rule of God over every area of life. That means that we determine that we are going to submit every area of our life to God's truth and to God's guidance. That is going to be the determining direction of our life. God's truth, God's guidance. We are going to submit all of our life to the King of Kings. Now think about this. When we need to know how to live, when we need to know how to believe in a certain area of life, we are not going to first check what the political opinions are. We're not going to check what the pollsters say. Our first thought is not going to be to read through a party platform or manifesto. Our first thought is not going to be to read a bunch of articles about it. Our first thought is not going to be to check and see what our favorite news channel is saying about that issue. Our first thought is not going to be to evaluate our feelings of the moment or of the day and then determine what we believe. No, if we are going to be people who are living on a kingdom agenda, the kingdom of God, then first we see what God says. He is the final authority. And all of the other pieces of information that we could gather, they are secondary sources to God's word and God's truth. For us to experience God's will being done on earth as it even is in heaven, then you and I are going to have to order our life according to God's will. And here's the truth. Living a kingdom agenda never just happens. It's a life decision from which everything else flows. Do you remember those words that we read of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33? Jesus said, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else." Some translations say, "Seek first the kingdom of God." That means that we make a decision. We make a decision to open our heart to God's truth, to God's forgiveness, to God's grace, to God's mercy. And then from that point on, we follow Jesus and we live by His agenda, His direction, His guidance, His purpose for our lives. Now, I know that when we look around at our world, it's easy to spot people who appear to have it all together. On the surface, they look and behave like they are living a successful life. They may have a good job. They may have an attractive spouse. They may have more than enough money to live comfortably and to take awesome vacations. We could go on and on with the success markers that we look at in life. But what if society's success markers are not the ultimate goal of life on this planet? You see, the life that Jesus described is a life being lived seeking first the kingdom of God above all else. And that has a very different value system than the success markers of the world. Jesus said the highest value in this life is a love for God and love for others. That's what everything else is evaluated by. And the greatest question that we can ask each other is, what does love require? In this situation of my life, if I'm going to live by God's truth and God's plan, and if I'm going to submit and surrender this area of my life to the King, then what does loving God require of me in this situation? And what does loving others require of me in this situation? Living a kingdom agenda requires that you and I make a decision to open our heart and receive and experience this amazing gift of God, His forgiveness, His grace, His truth. And it means that you and I make a daily decision to live by this kingdom agenda. And when we make that decision, friends, whenever we make that decision, wherever people are seeking a kingdom of God life, then they live by kingdom principles that supersede every other agenda. It supersedes every other agenda in life. God's kingdom transcends time, space, politics, denominations, cultures, and every other realm of society. We know that it's so easy for us to develop an us versus them mentality. We talked about that a little bit last week in our message about Jesus going to the other side of the lake. It's easy for us to always categorize people as over there and we're over here. It's always easy for us to separate people into categories based on how we think or behave about certain issues. But that's not a kingdom of God agenda. Recently, I heard an interview with noted author, pastor, and theologian Tim Keller. And he talked about how it's easy for us, even as Christ followers, to become divided along political ideologies as opposed to living by a kingdom agenda. He talked about how some of the issues that constantly come up in our political conversations seem to divide people along lines. Let me just mention a couple of them to you. He talked about racial justice. He talked about concern for the poor, about life being sacred, and about a biblical view of sexuality and marriage. And Keller pointed out, as you and I know, that so often two of those issues are often portrayed as conservative issues, and the other two issues are often portrayed as liberal issues. But friends, if we look at a kingdom agenda, a biblical agenda, we discover that God cares about all four of those issues. God cares about racial justice. God cares about the poor. God cares about life because He created it and He gave it and He wants us to consider it sacred. And God designed our sexuality. And so He gives us guidelines in which it is to be expressed within the boundaries of marriage. You see, Jesus calls us above a political ideology to a kingdom of God mindset, which brings the important issues together. Those four issues are not political issues. Those are moral issues. They're kingdom issues. And yet it's so easy for us to look at those issues or others and say, well, you're over there and I'm over here. When God says, no, it's not us and them. It's about living, not as a conservative or not as a liberal, but it's about living as a Christ follower. It's about living out a kingdom agenda. Friends, that's why you will not hear us at Grace Point from the platform or online ever endorse a political party or a candidate. Because the kingdom of God agenda is bigger than any political party or any candidate. The good news of Jesus is our message. And the timeless, eternal message of this good news is too important for us to get lost in the midst of a political conversation or a preference. Now, I know some of you, your blood pressure just went right through the roof. Let me clarify. This doesn't mean that we are not going to speak out on moral and ethical issues. We unashamedly stand on God's truth, and we will speak into current issues on that basis. We are never going to base our stance on an issue on whether it makes us sound like we are liberal or conservative, Republican or Democrat or independent, or any other political ideology. We are going to stand on God's truth. We're going to live and call each other to live by God's agenda. And that is going to supersede any other agenda that is offered to us in our world. A fellow pastor said recently, an eternity from now, no one's ever going to be talking about who is president or who is a political party preference. Eternities from now, everyone is going to be talking about Jesus and His amazing grace towards us. So could I remind you today that no matter who sits in the Oval Office, or who sits in the Kremlin, or who sits in Congress, that Jesus Christ sits on the throne of God's eternal kingdom. And I don't know about you, but I want to live by that agenda, the kingdom agenda, because I know that Jesus Christ came and lived and died and rose again for me and for you so that we could experience life with Him right here on this earth, and we could experience heaven forever with Him. Now, friends, that is good news. So as you think about Jesus calling us to the kingdom of God, as you think about this being done on earth as it is in heaven, could I ask you, what agenda is directing your life? And would you be willing to make a decision to live by a kingdom of God agenda in every area of your life? Some of us, we think, oh man, I don't think I have much to offer. I'm not sure I can make much of a difference. Could I remind you of what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4 about the kingdom of God being like a mustard seed? Remember, Jesus said, a mustard seed is planted in the ground and it is the smallest of all seeds, but it can become the largest of all the plants. It can make a big difference. And Jesus is saying, if you and I will just give our lives to experiencing and living in the grace of Jesus and living out His purpose and plan for our lives, that God can take what we believe is small and God can accomplish amazing things in our life, in our family, in our communities. So I want to ask you if you are just willing to say, God, I'm willing to surrender to Your agenda today in every area of my life. In my private world, in my family, in my marriage, on my job, in the way I order and direct my finances, God, I'm just willing to surrender and submit to Your will, to Your plan, to Your agenda today. Imagine what God can do with you. Imagine what God can do with us if we will just be willing to experience His grace and then live out His kingdom agenda in our world. Will you join us? Will you join us in living the kingdom agenda this week? Let's pray together. God, we are so grateful that You call us into Your grace. You welcome us with open arms into Your family. And you just simply say to us, follow Me. Follow My plan. Follow My principles. Follow My truth in your life. And God, we know that as we do that, that You are going to use us to make an amazing difference in the people around us and maybe even in our whole world. I pray that You would help us be very honest today about what agendas we easily are pulled into, things that can easily distract us from a kingdom agenda. And may we, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, just make a decision to submit and surrender everything to You. And may we never be sidetracked. May we never be divided as a Christ-following family over issues that ultimately need to be submitted and surrendered to Your word and to Your truth. Jesus, help us. Help us follow You this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.